This is a Collider.com audio interview.
Well, then maybe you can tell us about, were you channeling like a Katharine Hepburn, Tracy Lords kind of character?
Oh, Lord.
That was the great sense I got with your elegance, your movement.
No, I mean, Pat, the beauty of Pat, you know, Pat is a I've played, you know, as you know, I've played wives and period, I've done period movies, but Pat is you know, she's beautiful in that her wit and her sense of humor and her joie de vivre and she's sexy. You know, she's clearly a woman well into her 40s, and she's still got something going on, you know. She's got a little something. And so I've probably somewhere in my psyche are all of those great actresses from those eras. I mean, I do admire many of them, and I have them in, you know, as a child, well, as a teenager, I was influenced by them. But no, I found Pat kind of her own gal, and quite frank and honest. I mean, you know, what she says about sex, I found refreshing. And love. So it was exciting to play her.
Did you go back and watch any 40s movies to get the moves of the feel?
No.
And also, how hard is it to walk that line that it's dramatic at some points, but it does have a sense of humor?
Great humor. Oh, no. I mean, that's what's fun, is to see this film. We were just at the Miami Film Festival with a packed big house, and you know, just rolls of laughter and gasps and and no, but when we shot it for Broke. I mean, Chris and I, those scenes were shot as Bergman. I mean, they were shot, you know, I'm still recovering. They were shot, you know, full out and hardcore, you know. And that's the thing, is I really wanted, you know, because it's a period movie, but it's not a period piece, so to speak. A lot of the clothes we wore, the real clothes from the from, you know, the 40s, late 40s. Thank you. You know, I think it was, you know, we approached it naturalistically. It's ultimately, it's tone and what you see. You know, it does have style, it has a lift. You know, it is a smashing of genres, you know, so to speak. I mean, he took the thriller, he took the melodrama and a dark comedy, and kind of came up with this new cocktail. But
is it a kind of a cautionary tale, though? I mean, that you need to get to know your significant other better.
Oh, and be
better.
Careful what you drink.
Yeah.
Sure about that water?
I know. Chris.
Hi.
Chris.
Been entertaining everybody?
Where have you been all day?
Been hanging around?
Been? Hi, Chris.
Sneaking peeks at you. Hello, everybody. Hi.
Yes. Hi. I told them I murdered you. That's why I'm here.
We are about to.
How did you guys work with Ira on this? Just because he, you know, it is such a close story with him, and as a director as well. So, as well as the writer.
How did we work? Well, personally, for me, early on, way before we started cameras rolling, I was working on another job in Mesa, Arizona, and Ira was kind enough to come down, and this was for this particular script. It was a situation where I wanted to go line by line for a breakdown, make sure we are on the same track. My discipline that I was learned early on is that time's money, and we had a tight budget on this film, and a lot to accomplish, and I realized the load that a director puts on his shoulders, you know, during production. So I don't want to waste time during setups or before a scene to work out any problems. And over day or two different sessions, we went over the script twice and found that we were very much thinking on the same lines, and then when pick up any time you want to.
No, I'm just wondering, are we talking about marriage? You have this whole life. See, you had this whole pre-life marriage, you know, because he was the first involved, and you, like...
Yeah, I was attached to this for like a year and a half, trying to get it off the ground.
But you do want to know, like, how we act, like, on the set.
Well, that's fine. No, that's
all right, but yeah. I think, you know, it's similar to what we're saying, and you know, what I was telling them is that, like, when we shot these scenes, it was like... It was intense. I mean, we shot them for Broke. It was, you know, Ira, it was a very kind of, you know, serious, dark set for all, you know, we had a lot of giggles, too, you know. But we were, you know, we came in really kind of loaded, ready to go, and we had done a lot of emotional homework. We had rehearsed. Ira, man after my own heart, doesn't rehearse a lot, and I don't like to rehearse, but we had worked together. We would run our lines together, which was great. It was, even though we knew one another, we've known each other for a long time, you know, it was just us coming together and spending time together and getting comfortable and safe and all of that, and then the learning of the lines kind of helped us, I think, become Pat and Harry as this couple, you know.
Yeah, we had a little bit of concern about the lines. This is an adaptation from a British, you know, novel.
Yeah.
And some of the writing had that British tinge to it.
A little bit.
And,
but Ira was good. We'd say, you know, the only thing missing is, you know, tea cakes, where we can't, we have to kind of, suddenly, because we, you know, there was a little, sometimes there was a little bit of British, and, you know, he was good, he would, you know, Ira really listens, he's a director who really, really listens, and he's very specific, and he knew what he was doing, you know, he knew what he wanted, and if we had a few, you know, if we had difficulties, he would change, and then there were some things in the script that he, you know, was adamant he would not change, and
we just had to work through it,
but it was for the most part, it was a pretty great script from the you know, it was a beautiful script, that's why we, you know, wanted to do it.
And Chris, do you think Harry, your character's just naive, or did he have tunnel vision about his wife? Or
I think he's very.
Of her having an affair.
I can say that now that we've done the film, I think he was very naive. Mm-hmm. You know, to assume that his wife wasn't strong enough to handle the confrontation or the idea of a divorce. This character.
You'll make me feel better.
You know, I was just thinking the other day, maybe I should murder.
It does sound ridiculous the way you play it.
But that's the beauty of this movie, is, you know, it has a lift, it has an edge, it, you know, it's different. It is this, you have to accept the premise and you have to kind of, it is Hitchcockian in its kind of structure and somewhat in its tone, and then it kind of smashes.
But it seems more that it could happen in the 40s more than now. You know that probably...
They're also so...
Well, because I...
But,
yes, and marriage was much... Yeah, no, cell phones, my God. But marriage was much more an institution then.
Civilized. They're still civilized about the whole
thing. No, but marriage was much, much more, I think, an institution and mm-hmm. than it is now, you know. Not that it isn't still important in many people's lives, but I think it helped. Yeah.
Chris, I'll ask you the same question. Was it hard that the tone of the film, where it's very serious, but it had a lot of comedy aspects to it? It's a really interesting tone.
Yeah, I mean, no, I don't think it was. It was hard in that way. We played it for, you know, we played the moments for real. But when you put it together. And what I realized, what I saw when I saw I saw it at the Toronto Film Festival the first time with a theater crowd, we're not patting ourselves on the back, but it's like the experience of watching this with a crowd is like when I went to the theater in the 50s, mm-hmm. you know, people are very vocal and gasping and laughing.
It's crazy.
And the intensity of these scenes, there's just a comic aspect to it that's mm-hmm. just over the top,
yeah.
you know.
Can you both talk a little about working with Pierce, as he's not here today?
It was delightful.
It was.
You know, Pierce and I had a little private get together over dinner.
I had a little private get together too.
And I
wanted over dinner.
Yes. No.
We just talked about our personal lives, and we found some, you know, similarities in that. And just that evening spending together was just a great, great help in that the first thing we shot was the opening scene of the film, that luncheon at the Sky Bar restaurant. And not to make it happen, but I felt like we had a nice feel with each other. And the same thing with Rachel. I realized I didn't do that many scenes with Rachel. We just established the relationship in the film with just a handful of scenes, but was very, very comfortable with each other.
We did. I did have a, like, I went to dinner when we were got to Toronto. I mean, Vancouver. I didn't know Pierre, so, you know, he is my confidant in the film, you know, and I do clearly have a past with him, and we really clearly like one another. And so, getting to know him was lovely, and he's, you know, he's incredibly talented and a real gentleman and lovely to work. The two of them, it was dreamy to go to work every day. I mean, seriously, sometimes I couldn't sleep at night. I was, like, so excited.
And whether it was a collaboration with Ira and Pierce, I think of all the four main actors, Pierce early on saw great humor in this script, mm-hmm. and he found those moments mm-hmm. brilliantly,
yeah.
where he discovers the deal with with Pat, and it's
he discovers the deal with Pat. Okay.
I thought it was great the way he handled
yes.
the scenes.
Oh, shooting that was so fun. Yee-hee.
I wanted to know, since we're running out of time, if you could talk a little bit about what you guys have coming up.
You know,
it's
embarrassing. I think it's something called Love in New York. It's a, what do you call it?
American
companion piece. It's
the French
the
vignettes.
Yeah.
All those vignettes.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be doing a little 2 or 3 minute piece with Robin Wright, and it's a interesting piece. We'll be shooting it later this month. But other than that, you know, after writer strike, the scripts are just starting to come in, and I'm reading material. But haven't come up with anything yet.
Which director is doing that segment?
Oh, man.
Chris, something.
We're gonna find out.
Man, it's embarrassing. I think he's from Tel Aviv, and I think his name is Atil. Atil, something like that. Oh, God, never let him hear this.
I'm going to work with Scorsese next, which is pretty yummy, yeah, on Shutter Island. I shoot in May, I guess. Great time.
Can you talk a little bit about your character in the film?
Yeah. It's a cool character. It's a great character. It's cool. It's surprising and odd, and it's a challenge, and but I'm looking forward. Obviously, I'm looking forward to working with Martin Scorsese.
The Woody Allen film.
I did. You know, yes, I worked with Woody Allen over the summer. Yes, and he was fantastic. I really loved working with Woody Allen. He just, his rhythm, his energy, his improvisational quality, it just sits. It's a free ride. It's like free lunch every day, and you get to the set, and you can kind of, it's great to be on a set with him. I was honored, yeah.
You enjoyed Barcelona?
I did, Barcelona. My great-grandfather is from Barcelona. People don't realize I have a lot of Spanish blood in me. Yes.
Thank you so much, everyone.
Thank you.
Chris, can I ask you one more question about that, the New York, I'm going to butcher the name. Was it, what was it that you drew to the project, the script, or how did you get involved with doing that?
Very
impactful.
I think it was, you know, like always, it's through my agent, and he sent me, you know, sent me the material.
It
wasn't, you know, it's a very, very short piece, and I very much appreciate Robin Wright's work, and just wanted to work with her and be a part of, you know.
You're gonna miss me.
Be one of these little things. Yeah.
I torment him.
See, this is not a perfect couple.
Who wouldn't want to be tormented?
Somebody's coming out of the elevator at the Four Seasons.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, I'd never been on Craig Ferguson, and I love him, and I don't like doing those shows. I really don't. I don't like doing audience shows where, you know, I love to sit down and have a one-on-one, you know, tap smile. I love to, you know. But
the New York one.
But I like him.
I really like
and
the Paris one.
You don't have to walk out and tell a funny story. You just have to kind of walk out and listen.
You know, so.
And you go through a whole list of things you're going to talk about. He didn't talk about one thing. But
I think they've made
the pigeons in New Orleans stealing his beignets. I mean, like, that was not anything I had talked about before I walked out.
Okay.
But thank you.
Move on.